You're listening to episode 74 of the Mad Chatters podcast, February 24th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hello, you are listening to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. I'm your co-host, Derek, and along with me are my fellow co-hosts, Matthew.
You got my cheese whiz, boy.
And Jeremy.
No.
All right, guys, I have to know, did you watch the wonderful... Gosh, why can I not say this? The Wonderful World of Disney, Disneyland 60 on ABC this weekend.
No.
Oh.
I really sincerely meant to, And I kept telling myself you have got to set it to record because I wouldn't be home, and I never did, so the world will never know.
Okay. Well, you missed the 5 minutes that actually took place in Disneyland. Now, there was more than that, but that's what it felt like.
Oh.
What'd you think, Jeremy?
I felt like the show fell short on many, many levels. There was a few moments in the show that I thought were genuinely good. I really did enjoy them. I particularly enjoyed when they would show clips of Walt, you know, from the original days. I thought that was very appropriate and nice. I enjoyed some of the musical numbers. I'm thinking about when Dick Van Dyke came out during Step in Time. I thought that was very nice. But I think it fell short on so many levels in that one... Most of the show wasn't even in Disneyland. It was at the Kodak Theater. Why could you not do this all in Disneyland? I realized that would require perhaps more manpower and scheduling conflicts. But this is a prime time special. I figured you'd be able to work around those. Second, why were there so many acts not singing Disney songs?
Yeah.
Elton John sang his own song. Little Big Town sang their own song. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm not listening for, this is not the Grammys. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear Disney tunes. So I was just very disappointed by that. However, based on what the Christmas parade was this year and has been for the last couple of years, my expectations were very low, because I understand too. I'm gonna play the devil's advocate here. On the other hand, it's still ABC primetime special, and you're trying to appeal to a mass audience. So mass audience is not gonna care about the history of Frontierland like we care about the history of Frontierland. They're going to see Mickey Mouse and Frozen and Toy Story and that kind of stuff. So. Unfortunately, that's what we got for the most part. But anytime that I could see clips of Disneyland, it's always a good thing. So,
yeah, I'm kind of like you. I went in with kind of low expectations, especially after the first 10 minutes. You know, you kind of get the feel, oh, so this is what it's going to be like. And then you just can kind of sit back and enjoy the songs and be like, oh, good, there's Dick Van Dyke. And how about he can still move for a guy who's, what, probably reaching 90?
He's in his 90s, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And he was like up there doing a little jig. So once I just like assume that, it's like, okay, this is fine. It's just don't call it, kind of like the fireworks, don't call it Disneyland something something if it's barely about Disneyland.
Yeah, I agree. I was also disappointed by the fact that there was nobody from the original Disneyland days there. I think they could have at least taken a segment and talked to some of these living legends who helped create Disneyland and was involved in the development.
I do think it's kind of funny that last week you were excited that the Paint the Night the parade was going to be on there, and it was literally the floats parked in the street. Like, that's all, they didn't even play the music from it.
I know, that was such a disappointment. It was kind of cool because I was watching it with family and I was able to be like, oh, that's the such and such float, or oh, the Mickey float, and that spins. Other than that, like, yeah, it was a major disappointment. They would have done a lot better, and I think people would have enjoyed it, even non-Disney people who were just tuning in. They should have shown Paint the Night in full, you know, just
yeah.
Like, set up a camera, let it play, let people watch it, and people would have enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So.
Now, say what you will about Josh Gad, but that's the kind of stuff I wanted to see, of just someone like taking you on a tour of different parts of the park. And he really did make me laugh when he said, and if you look closely, there's a hidden Josh Gad. Like, I sometimes he can be so annoying, but for some reason on this, like, I was like, more of him, please. Like, more of this, but...
Definitely. Instead, we got... Oh, one part, and this always gets me. I don't care what the occasion is. When you get Kermit the Frog to sing Rainbow Connection, I'm hooked. So I did get a little like lump in my throat when he sang with whatever that blonde thing is that sang with him.
Tori Kelly.
Disney's really trying to make her happen because she was on the Christmas parade too. And
she's good. She was on the Grammys.
Was she?
She's good. Anyway, It was fine. You know, like, it's kind of exactly what I expected. But one of these days, if they do a two-hour special that is all in the parks, like, I'm sold. I'm going to be hooked on that thing, you know?
Yeah, the
I'll
thing is
that... I'll buy the DVD, all that.
That will not be on ABC, though. That's going to be the Travel Channel special.
Right.
Because it's a very niche audience, you know? Somebody like my mother watched the two-hour thing the other night. She's not going to watch a two-hour special about the history of Disneyland. I will, and I will love it, but she is not. So it's hard for me to be too hard on the special because I knew going in they're trying to reach a mass audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't be too specific to the brand,
sure,
per se.
Sure. Well, let's talk about one of the things they did promise, and that was that Harrison Ford was going to come on and give a preview of Star Wars Land. And again, kind of as I suspected, it was, you could barely even call it a preview. They showed a few more pieces of concept art than we've seen, still kind of the same general idea. But I do want to read this quote about the attractions, because we know we're getting two e-ticket attractions for the Star Wars themed lands, which they have not picked the title for yet. And one of them, he says, guests will be able to step aboard the Millennium Falcon and actually pilot the fastest ship in the galaxy, steering the vessel through space, firing the laser cannons in, quote, complete control of the experience. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that kind of threw me because to me, that's the impression I got was something like the Simpsons ride or Back to the Future ride, however you want to compare it to, at Islands of Adventure, Universal, whichever park that's at. Yeah, where I feel like guests are going to be in their own little compartment while they ride. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's not the vibe I got at all. Like, complete control makes me think more like trackless, like you're going to be able to steer and things like that. I don't know, though.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe
they showed one really quick clip of like you could see people's heads in the front row going by a big screen watching like a big battle going on, like they're slowly moving from left to right, and it made me think of kind of Spider-Man where you're sitting in the car and your whole thing is moving from screen to screen.
Yeah, maybe I could see that.
Like, I think screens are guaranteed we're gonna have
I think we'll probably have some animatronics, but I think Star Wars kind of lends itself to screen based because I mean, really, how can you try and make that world come to life, per se, in an attraction setting? I think it'd be very difficult.
It would be, but then again, like, not to say that this is the ultimate attraction, but Gringotts, you know, uses animatronics a little bit.
Yeah, so we might be able to have a nice mix.
Yeah, and I honestly couldn't tell if that clip that I said looked like Spider-Man, that might have been the other attraction, not the one where you, quote, are in complete control, so I don't even know. It was a very short segment, the whole Star Wars thing.
Yeah, but at least we got more information there than we did from Shanghai. That was
it's true.
Most disappointing.
And you know why? Because they're all saying, we don't know yet. Like, this park is barely, we barely started building this park.
And it opens in June.
Exactly. So, they're like, stop bothering us. We don't have time.
Because I was like, I told my mom, I was like, oh, you're going to be impressed when you see this castle because I heard it's really great and da-da-da. And then they never showed it.
Nah.
And it was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, and everything they showed was like, were virtual concepts, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, speaking of things coming up soon, did you see the Instagram video? Somebody put a phone over the wall at DCA for the Cars Land attraction that's opening. It doesn't look very thrilling, but
no,
it might be nice for children. I forget, what's it called again? Luigi's
Rollickin' Roadsters.
There we go. So that should be opening, I would imagine, in the next month or so, because it looked pretty completed.
Yeah, I think they're doing cast member tests this week, so
Okay. Well, for those interested in California things, it's out there.
There you go. Now, one big thing the Parks blog announced this week that we posted on our Facebook page was about the Star Wars fireworks that are coming this summer to Hollywood Studios. And the first thing I have to say about this is I love Star Wars as much as the next person, but I'm afraid Hollywood Studios is now thinking that it's Star Wars is going to solve all its problems.
And the sad thing is it probably will.
That's true.
I'm willing to bet they would be, if it wasn't for things like Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, they probably would just demolish the whole park and just make it all a Star Wars. And people are probably going to refer to it as the Star Wars Park, Disney Star Wars Park, you know, Muggles and those kind of things. And the, so, you know, it's finding its identity there, which it's not the best because you're really pigeonholing yourself. But on the other hand, could be a lot worse. So
yeah, I think I felt like I had to say that because we complained a lot about Frozen, and there may be people out there who do not like Star Wars and feel the exact same way now about Star Wars, and so I feel like we need to be balanced on the show.
That is true. The only difference I can see is Frozen is one film.
Yeah.
Star Wars is now seven films and
plus TV shows.
Universe.
Yeah.
So it lends itself to a more expansive area instead of just one film repeatedly plugged into various things. If it was just A New Hope and we were just theming everything to A New Hope, then I would get fatigued very, very quickly.
And it's one film that has technically not proven to stand the test of time. I think it will, but I mean, it's only been a few years, whereas Star Wars has been a few decades. So
definitely.
Anyway, but let me read a few quotes about this. These new shows coming to Hollywood Studios. I think it says The Force Will Awaken at the park April 4th with the debut of the brand new Star Wars stage show, Star Wars, A Galaxy Far, Far Away. The new show will play out iconic moments from the film saga on center stage, which is the stage in front of the Chinese theater, and will feature appearances from Star Wars characters like Kylo Ren, Chewbacca, Darth Vader, and Darth Maul. Also, Captain Phasma will begin leading a platoon of First Order stormtroopers on a march from Star Wars Launch Bay to center stage multiple times each day. So that's the stage show. This summer, that's April 4th, this summer, fans won't want to miss the grand debut of a new Star Wars fireworks show called Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular. This new nightly show is the next generation of the current Star Wars-inspired fireworks show. The show will combine fireworks, pyrotechnics, special effects, and video projections that will turn the nearby Chinese theater and other buildings into the twin suns of Tatooine, a field of battle droids, the Trench of the Death Star, Starkiller Base, and other Star Wars destinations. The show will be punctuated with a tower of fire and spotlight beams, creating massive lightsabers in the sky. This new show will be the most elaborate fireworks display to take place in the history of Disney's Hollywood Studios. They're really selling. They're not underselling that one at all.
Can I just be the first to say, I think we can stop saying the Force Awakens or Willow. It's awoken up. It's woke. It's alive and well. So there we go.
I'm excited about this. I am. You put Star Wars music with fireworks, with projections on the buildings. Like, you're going to get something pretty magical there, I think.
Yeah, it'll be nice. It's just like, to me, it's not, I mean, they've done Star Wars themed fireworks there before. So when I first initially saw it, it wasn't like a woohoo. It was more just like, oh yeah, I could see that coming a mile away. So, you know, more power to them.
Yep. Well, if you're going to be in Hollywood Studios anytime after April 4th, those are some of the things you'll be able to experience. So anything else for the news this week? All right, then let's just do some 11-second rants.
You think you could do these things, but you just can't, Nemo.
I can't take it anymore.
All right, that's it. Dishonor on your whole family.
Blast this pen. Blast this wretched pen.
No thanks to you, I am the laughing stock of the entire kingdom.
I know it's a rock. Don't you think I know a rock when I see a rock? I've spent a lot of time around rocks.
You are a toy!
What is with the smell on pirates? Pirates smell like rusty mildew water, not coconuts and bay leaves or whatever the heck that new smell is.
Whoever thought cheerleader weekends were a good idea should be punched in the throat.
What do I have to do to get Disneyland to release an official soundtrack for Mickey and the Magical Map?
Whose idea was it to take a two, some say three-story waterfall at the Polynesian and replace it with a Big Lots fountain on which sits a shrugging Tiki statue?
Nothing kills the mood on an attraction quite like a guest who feels like he has to narrate. Like in Fantastic when they're like, there's Mickey, or there's a ghost. Ooh, do you see it, sweetie? You know? Or
is
like
this person talking to you?
Yeah, or to their child. Ooh, those pirates are in jail. Oh. Like I'm pretty sure everyone will enjoy the attraction just fine without the play-by-play.
Whoever thought Night of Joy was a good idea should be punched in the throat.
Seriously, Disney, it's time to do something with the Ticket and Transportation Center. The thing feels like a center for mass public transit, which I understand it is supposed to be. But it is supposed to be a mass transit center for Disney, so let's make it seem like that.
Just because you lose a debate on this podcast does not mean there's some conspiracy against you. It might be that the judge actually genuinely liked the other person's argument better. Oh, and you're a baby.
Whoever thought reciting the spiel along with the ghost host in the Haunted Mansion was a good idea should be punched in the throat.
Frozen is without a doubt one of the worst Disney movies ever made. And I know I'm going against the tide here, but every time I hear the song Fixer Upper, I just want to take the TV and throw it out of my house. Forced rhythm, forced rhyme, horrible lyrics, bad voicing. I can't take it much anymore.
On this week's episode, it's time for another Mad Q Party. This is one of our favorite segments that we do on the show. If you are a new listener, it just means that we're going to present some hypothetical questions about Walt Disney World and about the Disney universe at large and just have some fun giving our, I guess, hypothetical answers. So on this week's Mad Q Party, we're joined by a very special guest, Aaron Wallace. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so glad you're here. I'm particularly glad you're here because I know we always kind of think alike on these types of things, and it's going to be nice to have a sort of different point of view. Maybe.
So. Awesome. I hope so.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Before we start, why don't you tell our listeners who aren't familiar with you, like your background with Disney, what it is you like about it, and maybe, I don't know, if you've maybe written a book about it, you could talk about that as well.
If maybe I have. I've been at this sort of Disney thing for a really long time now. I started writing for UltimateDisney.com back in 2003, 2004. I guess from there was this podcast. It was the first ever Disney podcast called The Mouse Pod. It invited me to come on and talk about my work with UltimateDisney.com. And it was supposed to be just like a one-time thing. And that turned into a recurring gig on that show. And then when his Jesse, the host, his wife became like an executive with the Disney company, his show had to sort of go on hiatus. And he said, you know, hey, you should start your own show. And I was like, well, okay. I still barely understood what podcasting was. This was back in 2005. You know, like iTunes didn't even carry podcasts at this time. But so I did, and I had the benefit of inheriting his entire audience, which was substantial at the time because like it was literally the only Disney podcast. And so that show's called Zippity Doo Pod. I've Been doing it for 10 years, although the episodes come out very sporadically, not nearly as consistently as as you guys. So I started doing that and sort of built up an audience and then got in touch with a publisher. And I had this idea for a book. And I knew I wanted to write about the theme parks, but I didn't want to write sort of the same book that's already out there, because there are so many great sort of like how to travel the parks or how to tour the parks books. And so I came up with this idea of really for the first time looking at each attraction in one park, in this case Magic Kingdom, sort of in depth on its own, like one at a time. And so the book is called The Thinking Fan's Guide to Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom, and we just released the second edition back in September. And yeah, so it just looks at each ride, each show, not only the history behind them, but with the goal of giving readers like a new perspective. And so my hope is that everyone comes away with like not only information, but even for hardcore Disney fans who maybe already know everything, like you guys, then
oh please,
but there's still like original thought there that you sort of come away hopefully with a deeper appreciation for each attraction. So. That's what it's about, and that's what I've been doing for like a decade now.
Well, not to put you on the spot, but is there a favorite piece from the book, or maybe something that readers have reached out to you and said, I did not know that?
Yeah, there have been a couple that people sort of point to again and again. The It's a Small World essay, I guess you could say, is the one that people sort of single out the most. I was invited to speak at this travel agents convention at Coronado Springs, and I just started sort of speaking off the cuff about It's a Small World, and you know, it gets into all these issues of like racial harmony and that sort of thing. And in the front row, there were these like elderly Black women just sort of happened to be sitting in the front row. And as I was getting sort of emotional talking about this, and they were like waving their arms in the air, like, yes, child. Yes. It was amazing. Like it was like going to church with It's a Small World. And ever since then, I've like people keep pointing out that, that attraction to me. So that one's been sort of special. And then, I think in terms of like new knowledge, the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh chapter is one that people point out a lot.
Hmm. Are you going to do one for Disneyland in the future?
I might. I'm working on
a couple. No pressure.
Right. I'm working on a couple of projects right now that I am not at liberty to announce. So
okay.
It's a very unhelpful tease. But I should get to make some announcements this year.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, you guys, are you ready to get started with this Mad Queue party?
I just have one question for the expert. Are you familiar with the windows in Pinocchio's Village House restaurant?
The windows? I don't know.
Peek into It's a Small World.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you know anything about their origin or the reason they're there?
Hey, the future of your presence on this show, Aaron, is at stake here.
Hinges.
Or mine. I guess I should say mine because I'll leave.
I was just quoting another Disney historian once, and who pointed out that these windows were representative of the fish's name just went right out of my head. Cleo's fishbowl, and as they peered into Small World, and I have been mocked ridiculously since because of this finding. It kind of makes sense to me, but my fellow chatters don't see it, so whatever.
This was at the end of a long list of other things about the balcony and the marionettes and everything else, and we use the term historian for this person very loosely.
He's a historian.
I mean, yeah, I kind of like the guy, but whatever.
If this shows up in the third edition, Jeremy's going to want credit for that.
Totally. Co-author, I want to be on The View with you as you research and all that. So
I was on The View.
Yeah, I saw that. So you took a trip to New York recently. This was just for leisure, I assume?
Yeah. Just to go, I mean, I was feeling like guilty about the fact that I'd never been to New York City. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, especially to be as big a musical theater fan as I am, to never have gone. So I was just like, you know what, I need to go. While I was there, I went to The View. Let me just clarify, when I say I was on The View, I mean, I was in the audience on The View. But there were like a couple of passing camera shots. So that was a cool experience.
Listen, if I can put Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular on my resume because I was in it once, you can put The View because you were in the audience.
So well, did you had like a speaking role then, right? Or you got to act or something?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what I did. I think I did the scared face or something. I don't know.
Well, that's a lot more significant than what I
did. Very true.
Hey, come on.
I clapped in the corner of a room.
Let's not downplay it. All right, well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and throw out the first question that we've got on our show today, and it is this. If Pop Century Resort added a section for the 2010s, what giant icons would you add to best represent this decade? And Matt, I'm going to throw it over to you first.
Well, there's only one stop you need to make for the 2010s for a Disney All-Star or a value resort. So other decades represented feature Disney movies from that decade, such as Lady and the Tramp and Jungle Book. So I'm just going to give the really obvious answer for the 2010s and say there has to be giant, overdone, Frozen characters in this section. Yes. Like a big old Olaf head. And we'll use the fun ones like Olaf and Sven. You know, something that, you know, you don't want towering Anna and Elsa or something. Or maybe you do. I don't know. But this is that. And maybe a little themed pool, you know, to Frozen in the middle, where it actually snows every freaking hour or something. I don't know.
They keep the water really cold.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. If the question were, what is Disney most likely going to do? Yes, that would be the answer. Yeah.
Well, the question is, yeah, which one would I add? And I think I would add that just to get a lot more. Now, the Pop Century is pretty popular anyway.
Yeah.
But get a little more traffic in there.
I went a different way with my answer because I thought about the 2000s as a whole, just in culture. And so, you know, each section has their own little giant, like, oversized icon, I guess you could say. Icon's probably too strong of a word, but we'll go with that. So my icon is going to be two twin towers, but on the other side of the walkway is the plane coming towards it.
Are you kidding?
Wow.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking
that was
like,
2001. We're talking 2010s here.
Oh, you're right. I meant to.
And
no.
Preferably not offensive and terrible.
Seriously.
That will send you to hell.
I thought you were talking
about. I misread the question because I thought it was the 2000s.
I think you misread humanity, Jeremy. I think you misread humanity.
Man, because I had some other good answers too, and I'm really kind of upset. Because then I thought.
Wait, other good answers or just good answers?
Because then I was going to theme all my rooms to Mean Girls because I thought that'd be a lot of fun. So, like, you know, the posters from that.
No, you're out. You're done.
And then my final thing was I was going to have a play area for children themed to Jared Fogle from Subway. So,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my word. You're ridiculous.
We're completely tongue-in-cheek. Listen, I'm giving Frozen answers, and I hate that mess, and you're giving terrible, offensive answers already.
It's called comedy. Get over it.
Oh, boy. All right, what about you, Aaron?
I was thinking maybe Miley Cyrus's tongue slide. Like, maybe a whole pool theme to the We Can't Stop music video.
Oh, boy.
And also a giant version of Pharrell's hat.
Yes.
Let's go back to the pool, though. I like this idea because I'm picturing, like, instead of you have the slide, but then also you can have a giant wrecking ball that, like, you swing out over the top, like a
tire. Yes. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And, like, giant teddy bears in the pool.
Yes. Yes.
I was also thinking inside the rooms, the bedspreads could have patterns from adult coloring books.
Ah, yes.
Wait, I don't know what this is.
You're adult not familiar with books? Adult coloring books?
It's those? Not what it sounds like.
I was like, no. Wait a second.
No. Adult in the, like, family-friendly sense of that term. Just walk into a Barnes & Noble. I guarantee it'll be the first thing you see. As of only, like, 2 months ago, this became a thing.
It's what? The new stress relief for adults, and they have them, like, for Disney and Harry Potter and patterns. Yeah, but they're, like, really, really, like, intricate and detailed. Like, it, you know, you got to put a lot of effort into the coloring.
I saw a meme the other day, and it said, it was like in the future, and it was like, Daddy, how did Donald Trump get elected? And somebody said, well, it was the same year adult coloring books came out, and we were all really distracted.
I saw that too.
That's about right. It's really silly.
Well, 75% of me is like horrified, but the other 25% kind of wants to go get one just to see.
They have Harry Potter ones.
Oh, I'm sold. We're done.
Yeah.
Cool.
That one's hard to find, though. It's always the one that's sold out in the store.
Oh, okay. Okay. eBay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I also went the more Disney route. I said you're going to need a giant BB-8 on one of the near one of the buildings. I thought you could do like a giant. Okay, so from Wreck-It Ralph, I don't know if the building has a name, but the tall building that he climbs, and then like have a little Fix-It Felix at the top. I thought that would be kind of cool. Yeah. And then for items that that represent the decade, you're just going to need like a giant Cronut on one end, because I'm pretty sure that's new to this decade.
Yeah.
So it could even have like smells coming off of it, you know?
I forgot to mention my Jared Fogle Subway play area was also going to have smells. I just wanted that.
Let's move on.
Number two. Name something totally inappropriate wish you could do just once at Walt Disney World with no repercussions. I just want to say that, to preference this question, that on this podcast from time to time we say inappropriate things, but we try to keep it family friendly, so a lot of stuff ends up on the cutting room floor. And probably the least inappropriate person on this whole podcast came up with this question. And so I was shocked to get it, but I'm excited to see what the answers are. So why doesn't the person who wrote the question go first? Maybe he can set the tone.
Well, now you give it away.
That would be Derek. So
okay,
go ahead.
That's probably a good idea, because when I said totally inappropriate, I meant like by Mad Chatter standards, you know?
Those are pretty low standards, just throwing that out there, but okay.
You burped.
Or coughed. Dang it, how'd you know my answer? Well, dang it, now I'm afraid that mine's going to look like, I don't know, very vanilla.
I have a safe answer and an inappropriate answer. So.
Okay, well, I will set the tone right now, but you guys feel free to change the tone if you would like. But my answer is just once. I want to go up. Okay, listen. Meet and greets, I know they're for children. I understand this. I'm a grown man. I don't need to be meeting characters. But when I do, and there's a kid in front of me taking forever with his autograph book, I just want to like go up to every child who has one and be like, you know, that's just a character in a costume, and that autograph means absolutely nothing. Like, I could sign it for you, right? Like, look at his fingers. His fingers aren't moving. Do you think he can sign your book any better than I can? You know?
It's terrible.
I know. Totally inappropriate.
True confessions. I work with a girl who is a friend of characters, or at least she used to be when she was in college. And one day she sat and autographed a bunch of papers for me of the character she used to do.
Oh, my word.
It was really touching.
So did they get trained on what it's supposed to look like?
Yeah, like there has to be some consistency. So she's like, this is Minnie's, you know, kind of a thing. And then she did some Universal ones, and I said, get those away from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But seriously, I just want to grab the book, like rip it, and be like, he's not real. This character is not real.
This is mean-spirited.
Yeah, this is taking a dark turn, I was.
Well, you know, those things are like the bane of my existence, those stupid autograph books. Ugh. Mm.
Your existence really isn't that bad. Just throwing that out there.
You're right. All right, Matt. Which one are you going to go with?
I have... My safe answer is... Actually, no. I have a few. I'm going to start with this one. I would like to unhook and reattach chains in some of the queues to either just keep bringing guests to a dead end or just keep them kind of wandering in a circle for a few minutes. I think that'd be pretty funny.
That would be hilarious.
I know. I'd just stand by and watch. Now, they're not going to be lost very long, and most people just go under the chains anyway, but you could really screw with some people in the queue for a Little Mermaid because that queue is so long. Another one I thought of, and this would be really inappropriate, like you could get in trouble and have to pay money and stuff, and that is when some friends of mine here from Avon Park, Florida, go into Walt Disney World, and people are using their phones or tablets walking through Disney World, not watching where they go, we have this thing we would love to do called downswipe. You know, based on the little truth commercials for the anti-tobacco people and left swiping stuff, I would like to downswipe. And this is just approaching someone with a phone and or tablet, camera, funnel cakes, anything, and just smacking it right out of their hand onto the ground and saying, downswipe!
Yes.
But that'd probably get me beat up pretty pretty quick. So, yeah. The other one is just to moon the on-ride photos. This would be not only inappropriate, but probably impossible just to get unhinged enough to get your butt up that high. So
yeah, you could probably do it
yourself.
Yeah, you could probably do it just the right moment during a character meet and greet, maybe. But
without getting banned for life, I'm
pretty
sure.
Yeah, probably so. The downswipe would make for such a great like YouTube montage of you just one after another just downswiping people's food.
Or phones.
Or phones. Or children.
My inappropriate thing that I've always wanted to do, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but I'm going to expand it this time. I've always thought it'd be fun to walk around and just randomly pop people's balloons that they buy as they go, you know, just like, you know, children or even adults, just to see the look on their face, like, just really just pop my $20 balloon. But I'm going to expand it, and I'm even going to go as far as I have caught myself dreaming about what it would be like to cut the cord on the characters in flight balloon and just watch it float away.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my. There they go. No, you could cut it while it's down so that when it takes off and they're like, oh, crap, it's not going
to make it. Yeah, yeah, I like that. And it just keeps getting higher, and the people in there are like, I think how high does this get?
I think this would involve like some scuba gear and like some really thick, some kind of axe or something. Because you'd have to get in that water and sneak around there.
It's possible. It's possible. I could do it.
Yeah. Very Wizard of Oz.
It sounds like you've thought this through.
Every time I see that thing up, you know, floating up there, I always think, what if somebody just cut that cord? How cool would that be?
Part of me wonders if you pop kids' balloons, the parents are like, aw, but then they look at you and they're like, thank you.
Thank you.
They don't want to carry that around all day.
Like, if I was ever rich and I had just had money to burn, I would go around popping people's balloons just to see the reaction. And then right before I was ready to get punched in the face, I'd be like, here's $20, go buy you a new one, kind of a thing. Mm.
What about the people on the balloon? Would they die?
Oh, I'm not concerned about that.
I mean, clearly, you heard about his icon for Pop Century.
Right. Okay. Inappropriate things that you wish you could do at Walt Disney World. Mr. Aaron.
So I think if I was going to do something completely inappropriate, I would go to the American Gardens Theater, get up on stage, and read Jeremy's list of proposals for the Pop Century Resort.
That would do it. You would get booed.
In full-out colonial garb, like the blue jacket and the wig and all that stuff. Hear ye, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funnel cakes would be thrown at you.
Which would be great because I love funnel cakes.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But no, that was a lifesaver, Jeremy, because I didn't have an answer for that question. So.
Well, you know, we didn't want to be uncouth. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of uncouth things that you could say that people are thinking at home as they listen. So tweet us those. I'd be curious. Levels of depravity.
I'll be honest. When Aaron gave that answer, part of me thought, oh, he had something really inappropriate and said, oh, well, never mind. I better not say that.
No. Okay. I wish.
All right, Matt, what's number three?
Number three, if you had to name your child, if you had to, that would be an interesting law. if you had to name your child after a Disney character, who would it be and why? Derek, how would you name your child?
Why do I have to go first again?
Did you go first last time?
Yeah.
Jeremy, who would you name your child after?
You know, I don't have a paternal bone in my body, and so this is not something that's ever crossed my mind.
You came up with the question.
I know, but I mean, like,
what?
Just because I'm creative doesn't mean it's crossed my mind.
Why do you hate children? Jeremy, I don't hate children. About children and Americans. No. You hate everybody.
I hate no one. I'm just saying that I've never stopped and thought about what would I name a child, specifically what would I name it after a Disney character, and be fun and creative. You know, I could say Alice or, you know, Belle or something like that, and those are kind of boring. I hope I didn't steal anybody's answer right there. But to be creative, I would name my children, I would hope to have twins, and I would name them Flotsam and Jetsam. after the characters in Little Mermaid.
I like that.
They won't be made fun of at all.
No. It doesn't matter. Their feelings don't matter because what? All that matters.
Isn't that what they used to call, like, isn't that a name for, like, pus, like an infection?
No, those are, oh my, those are nautical terms for things in the water. I forget exactly what
they are.
I know, but
flotsam is like you get, I'll have to look that up.
It's like pink eye.
Yeah, something like that.
Just kidding.
Okay. It's bad. But the point is, I spend every day of my life asking myself, how can I be more like Ursula? And this would be one of them. So
flotsam
there you
and
go.
Jetsam. That's like old Heckle and Jekyll on Golden Girls. You there, Heckle and Jekyll.
I would name my child Zetus in honor of the catchphrase Zetus Lupitus from Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's reaching deep into the film. Very good.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm ashamed of my answer.
It's Belle, isn't it?
Anna?
No.
Yeah, yeah. You already named your daughter after a frozen princess.
No.
Just kidding.
But Xenon, very good.
Yeah.
Zetus.
Yeah. Zetus, right, right.
But from Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
I don't even know what that is.
A Disney Channel original movie.
That's understandable.
Oh, that's why I don't know what
no,
it is.
I didn't know either.
And like a very old one, too.
It sounded like one of those from like the 70s, like a live action from the era of the Black Hole or something.
Starring like Haley Mills or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, got it.
This one stars Raven Simone. So it's must-see viewing.
Yes.
You were on The View. Quit rubbing it in our face. We get it.
She was there.
Well, obviously, I would name my child Beast. No, I'm just kidding. I would not do that. I would never name my child after a Disney character. I mean, maybe like coincidentally, it would share a name with a Disney character, but I don't think I would ever do that. Well, he or she, excuse me.
And I'm the one that doesn't like children?
Something like that.
But the name I landed on was Flynn, as in Flynn Rider from Tangled, because that's just like you don't mess with a Flynn, you know? Like, Flynn's cool. He's the captain of the basketball team. He's like macho. Like, he's boss, you know?
Don't think this is your child, Derek.
That's a good
If I name him Flynn, he's destined to be like that.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
So,
mine is Michael from Mary Poppins.
Oh, that was my second choice.
No, that is completely. I was
like, boring.
Are you thrilled? Because I really did put down Michael and Jane. I thought that would be fun.
Well, that would be a nice little tribute if you had both. Yes.
Yeah.
Mine was actually Donald, and because Donald Duck is my favorite of the Fab Five. But not only that, but it sounds like a family name, mm-hmm. and it would make people say, "Oh, you know, Donald is kind of an old fashioned name." So you would think, "Oh, is he named after someone? His dad, his granddad, or God forbid, Donald Trump or something?" And you say, "No, he's named after Donald Duck." Okay. That would just make a great story. And the faces that people would give you is the same face I made when Jeremy talked about his 9/11 props for the country resort.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Donald came back around, because that's the trend nowadays. You've got like Hazels and mm-hmm. Ruths, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Edna.
Yeah. It could, wait, do you know a baby Edna?
I do not.
Okay, thank goodness.
That could be a Disney name, Edna Mode.
Exactly.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yep.
2 weeks in a row we referenced her. Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So number four, what theme appropriate, keywords, theme appropriate show would you choose to replace Finding Nemo the musical at Disney's Animal Kingdom?
Okay, I'll go first because I'm kind of proud of this. Okay, so think Mickey and the Magical Map at Disneyland, which is kind of a musical review, you know? Mickey goes to the different lands and hears from different individuals in those lands. So we're going to go to different parts of the wild because the theater is called Theater in the Wild. Mm. And you're going to get, like, animals singing their songs. So Wanna Be Like You, which is already in Mickey and the Magical Map. You could do that from Jungle Book. From Tarzan, you could do Trash in the Camp, where, like, basically Stomp comes on and, you know, plays trash cans and utensils and all sorts of things to a beat, and then they scat. And then you can do, well, this is France, so I guess it's not really the wild, but you could do Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, like a jazz band.
You could feature different cats from Disney movies
for that song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Because everybody wants to be a cat.
Everybody wants to be one.
Nice. You could do Under the Sea, because that's also in Mickey and the Magical Map, so Sebastian could come out and do that. Maybe like the Three Caballeros. I kind of ran out of songs. But anyway, basically like there's a main character who goes to all these different lands, and they just do like a review, basically. So
that sounds fun. Yeah. I want to change my answer to that.
Okay, yes. Well, we as we know, Disney listens to this podcast, so it could happen.
That's right. Mine is boring. Mine is, I'm just going to go, sorry. Mine is a Jungle Book show. I know that Animal Kingdom opened with a Jungle Book show, but I'm got my fingers crossed that the new live-action movie will bring a renewed interest in the original Disney animated film. Mm-hmm. So I think a Jungle Book show there, you know, in the theater in the wild would be terrific, featuring all of the wonderful music from that movie, including I Want to Be Like You. And, you know, I like the state-of-the-art Louis character they have out there with the mouth and the eyes and all that good stuff. I think all that addition to that area would be wonderful.
To clarify, you mean he has, like, moving mouth and eyes?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Wait, didn't you see the Jungle Book show?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
If I did, I don't remember anything about it.
Oh, okay, okay. Then never mind.
My show is going to kind of piggyback off of that because I recalled, again, I never saw it either, but I recalled the original Jungle Book show that was there. So I want to do kind of a review, like what Derek said, with just some fun Disney songs, you know, that are more jungle friendly kind of feel. but they're going to be hosted by Baloo and King Louie, except they're going to be in their Tailspin costumes.
Naturally.
Of course.
I like that.
So yeah. There you go. And they may even start out with, you know, the show starts out with the...
Hey, in fact, let's just make this a whole Disney afternoon show.
That would be fine, because I was thinking about Gummy Bears, you know?
Okay. That's there. Bonkers, he's a bobcat. There you go.
He is. Yeah, I know, I wouldn't like that. Now I think about it. But definitely Baloo and Louie can host it.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
Me too. Okay, I've created a new show. Since this theater is technically Dinoland USA, right? I've created a brand new show called Dr. Marsh's Proprietary Prehistoric Sing-Along. This is based on Dr. Marsh, Felicia Rashad's character from the dinosaur attraction.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what she would sing yet. I'm thinking maybe songs by Della Reese. Because Della Reese provided a voice for Disney's film Dinosaur. And I mean, who doesn't want to see a cast member portraying Felicia Rashad singing the theme song to Touched by an Angel in the middle of Dinoland USA?
I think this should just be really awful and boring just for the sake of being really awful and just to match her character.
But how about we give her to liven it up? We bring in the, what's the, Dr. Seeker's, dinosaur puppet as the co-host.
Yes.
So not actually Dr. Seeker, but the hello there
just
puppet.
The puppet.
Like the warm-up guy.
Yeah. Yes. There we go. I love it. Oh my gosh. That's a great answer.
It doesn't matter what you do. Matt's still going to say it's better than Chester and Hester's Dinorama. So.
Hey. Every day.
Maybe a little musical number, like it could be like a vaudeville show. So like Chester and Hester can come out and sing a song about the cracks.
Wait. How did we get to a show featuring Chester and Hester?
I said it's a vaudeville, so they just have a you know, segment of the show. So.
Oh, I see. Like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. And then maybe somebody can come out and sing Diggin' in Dino Land live.
This show would be like three super Disney fans in there.
And Joe Rohde. We'd all be just
everybody
there
else
clapping. Yes.
I just feel like everybody, these are the kinds of dreams that Disney can make come true.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Maybe they could have a whole song spiel about the cracks in the road at Chester and Hester's.
Yeah. And then
you know, like, it's real because there's cracks in the road.
I'm just excited about the merchandise outside on the cart as well. That's going to be exciting. I want a Felicia Rashad lookalike t-shirt.
Yes.
Oh, my word.
A full line of Felicia Rashad merch, really.
I'll look forward to buying all of that on eBay next year when the show is long gone by that point.
Hey, there's a great segue opportunity here if somebody will take it.
You go for it.
Speaking of merchandise line.
Oh, okay. Oh. I could have figured that out. I was afraid I didn't know where you were going, but I think I could have done that, yeah.
I thought we had another Felicia Rashad question.
No. Yeah. Speaking of merchandise lines, if Disney created a new line of merchandise themed to different attractions, what item do you wish they would theme and sell? And some of the examples that we might offer are the current lines that are out there, such as the glassware and plates, the trash can series. What else did you put on there? What was else?
Well, I remember just last week that, you know, those Tsum Tsums that, oh, you know what? They should have giant Tsum Tsums at Pop Century. I just thought of that. Just like a giant stack of Tsum Tsums.
Yeah.
No, but those are like the new thing. And they just came out with a whole Pirates of the Caribbean line with like different characters from the attraction.
Nice.
Anyway.
So you're getting some more theme park themed merchandise lines. What would yours be, Jeremy?
Okay, so you guys remember, I guess it was last summer, the Vans shoes came out with like the Disney line. Do you mm-hmm. remember those? And they were, some of them were really nice and some of them were kind of tacky. But what I was thinking about is with a lot of the attraction stuff, particularly like clothing, it's so god-awful gaudy. You know what I mean? It's just like, ugh. And sometimes what they try to do is take the attraction posters, which are good as posters but not good as clothing. So I want to have a shoe line, like a van shoe line, that is attraction themed, but not like just a lay on of the attraction poster on the shoe. Does that make sense? So it'd be like a Pirates of the Caribbean, but it would be just like a subtle Pirates shoe. Maybe something like the face of the auctioneer. Kind of like how the Mickeys were all over the shoe. It would be the auctioneer all over the shoe. And, okay. Or like a Space Mountain, it would be the building all over the shoe. But it would just be very not so loud. It would be a little more toned down.
The Haunted Mansion wallpaper.
Oh, that would be great. I would totally buy Vans that were Haunted Mansion wallpaper.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yes. Oh, please make that happen, Disney. I want that.
I claim it. I declare it right now.
I'm putting it on my Disney dream board right now. I'm just putting that out in the universe. So,
I mean, I don't want them. That sounds god-awful to me, but you can have them all day long.
I would wear them every day.
I know you would.
Yeah, so this is like a serious answer, but I don't know if you guys remember 15, 20 years ago, the parks would sell all of these like ceramic figures from like Disney movies. They were like 6 inches tall and they would just have a bunch of different characters, and Disneyland kept them around for longer than Disney World, but they've largely been replaced by bobbleheads now, and I hate bobbleheads. But these were like my favorite merchandise items ever, and they just don't really make them anymore. So they were always just for like, I don't know, Captain Hook, Mary Poppins, Alice, like just movie characters. But I would love to see those come back and bring in characters from the attractions. So like Figment or Pirates of the Caribbean characters, that sort of thing. That would be my sort of dream attraction-based merchandise.
Now, they have something similar, right? They're like the elephants from Jungle Cruise. Like, those are ceramic, aren't they?
Oh, well, okay. Are you talking about the ones that are like $200 each?
No, they're $21.95. I know, because...
Oh, I don't think I've seen these.
Oh my gosh, they're awesome. They have a Figment one, and the elephants from Jungle Cruise. They have Monstro the Whale, Big Al from Country Bears.
Where are these?
I know they're on the Parks app thing, the new Shop Disney Parks app.
I saw it at the... What's the marketplace?
The Co-op.
Co-op, yeah. I saw the elephants at the Co-op.
Okay, well, I've got to go.
Yeah, they're like maybe 5-6 inches tall, and they're ceramic, and they're all different colors. So, like, the elephant is yellow, and Monstro is blue, and Big Al is red. They're pretty cool.
Wow. You just made my wish come true right now.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, you destroyed my wish, because my answer is bobbleheads.
Oh, no.
Yay!
This isn't necessarily my dream merchandise, but I do have a couple bobbleheads, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to do, like, you know, the leopard that I've talked about from It's a Small World. He could be holding his umbrella and bobbing his head. And okay, then you could do the auctioneer from Pirates, and I don't know, maybe one of the hitchhiking ghosts, but all these characters from classic Disney attractions, they're just slowly bobbing their heads at your desk.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you have justified the bobble in each of the ones that you just named. So I could get on board with those.
It's okay. I mean, you're really not going to offend me if you hate it. what bobbleheads are you talking about that they do sell?
Like Mickey, Minnie.
You got some like Steamboat Willie ones.
Yes, yeah. I have that one. Never mind. I have that Steamboat Willie one. Okay.
Which one are you talking about?
But I was thinking attraction specific.
I own a Beetlejuice bobblehead. That one's pretty cool.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's Universal. We don't talk about that.
I know. Yeah.
mine is, I'm afraid it's boring, but it's something I would enjoy. And that's a return to the attraction music collection. And I mean, this could be CD, but they could also make it available digitally, obviously, since that's preferred nowadays. They did this before with Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean, like their whole album dedicated to those two attractions. I didn't really care for the way they did it because it was just like the audio of like the different parks like Tokyo and Paris. And that was cool, don't get me wrong. But what I'm talking about is something that's just very detailed, really just for Disney fans, with all the variations of the ride music, like the queue, any like foyer music for the Haunted Mansion or exit music for Pirates or Haunted Mansion, and those are just the two I'm thinking of, but any of the attractions, Space Mountain, It's a Small World, Peter Pan's Flight, just one by one, take these things out. Also, maybe just to be something that would be cool, be like the breakdown spiels that go, that play when the ride breaks down. That sounds so nerdy, but yeah, put that on there. Ride-throughs, maybe like one really good, binaural, high-quality ride-through of the attraction. And maybe then do like a resort collection with the background loops at resorts, featuring their regular background loop, maybe the Christmas background loop for the different resorts. And you can find most of this stuff on YouTube anyway, but this will be a more official collector's kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That will probably never happen because nobody would buy it but me, but I think that'd be pretty cool.
I mean, you know I'm sold. Anything music related. All right, number six. If you could take an elderly person on an attraction with you. This is a two-part question. If you could take an elderly person, what attraction would you choose to take this person on for your enjoyment? And what attraction would you take him or her on for the person's enjoyment?
You left out your parenthetical insert here.
Okay.
Which one would you choose for your own enjoyment, assuming it wouldn't kill the person?
I mean, you know what I mean. Some of those rides maybe don't even brave it.
This is a fun question. If you could take an elderly person on an attraction, ooh, that's so exciting. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'll go first. Okay, so I think for my own enjoyment, not to laugh at this person, but I really want to see if an elderly person could beat my score on Toy Story Midway Mania, because then, like, I know I suck if they do, and I'm pretty sure they will.
I was gonna say, Derek, as someone who has ridden that ride with you numerous times, the answer is yes, they can.
Even with their carpal tunnel, they will beat me at Toy Story Midway Mania, but I just have to know for sure. For their enjoyment, I was thinking of like all those shows at Gatlinburg that like my parents and grandparents eat up, you know? And so I thought like Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor is like a 21st century version of a Gatlinburg show. So I feel like they would really enjoy that and would maybe even want to go back and watch again.
Gatlinburg.
I mean, it just made sense to me. Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor, like they're going to love that.
Yep. Mine is, for my own personal enjoyment, is Pirates, because why not?
I like it. I don't care about that.
There's a good amount of excitement in there, you know, with the hill, and it's tame enough, but it'll give them a little jolt, and that might be fun. For their enjoyment, and mine, I mean, I would enjoy both, would be Jungle Cruise, because I think they would enjoy the jokes, because that's kind of like old people humor. Except they wouldn't think it's corny. They would think that it's like, that's really funny jokes.
Right.
Like my granddad telling like those one-liners. And, you know, the music in the queue, they'd be like, oh, I know this one. Whatever it is, from the 20s. God bless them.
for my own enjoyment, I would put them on the characters in Flight Balloon when I cut it and watch them go.
Golly.
Just kidding. I love the elderly. No, for my own enjoyment, I don't really have a good answer for that, so I'm going to let it go. But for their enjoyment, I was thinking Spaceship Earth, because then as we go through the different scenes, they can tell me about what it was like to live in those different eras. So,
like the caveman days.
Yeah, I'll be like, tell me about hunting woolly mammoths. And then, ooh, tell me about how mad you were when you had to pound those reeds into papayas.
Did the Phoenicians really invent the alphabet?
Yeah. And, oh, you. There's the Greek philosopher who took you to prom. Isn't that sweet? There he is.
So glad to hear that funny.
I guess we both would enjoy it, you know, together.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Until they got to the computer part, then the old person probably wouldn't enjoy it anymore. So, I don't know how to turn that on.
This
is when communication went downhill.
Why is that girl's hair like that?
When they allow colored people in this ride.
Okay. All right, and we're moving on.
Okay, well, I feel like my barometer for this whole question is kind of skewed. I was recently on a flight, and I was in the middle seat between two elderly women, and they were both on their iPads, and I was reading A Murder, She Wrote novel. So
that is awesome.
But I don't know. I think rather than, like, originally I was inclined to put them on a thrill ride or something, but I want to put them for my own enjoyment on a ride that's just very underwhelming, because I think that no one is as delightfully unenthused as an old person. So I would just want to put them on, like, Journey to Imagination or, like, the Nemo subs or just something that they're going to be
Journey
totally
to Imagination
just...
Journey might give them a heart attack at the end.
Well, at the end, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where Derek's parenthetical comes in handy.
Yeah.
And then I guess for their enjoyment, I was going to say Carousel of Progress for the same reason that Jeremy gave, which is just, you know, I think they would love nothing more than to come off and spend 30 minutes sort of talking about their own lives and reflecting. So,
and just for the record, we all love old people on this show.
Oh,
we're
of
all
course.
Old souls. And we're not into the young people things, so...
I would love to take my grandparents for a whole day. I really would. I think they would love it. But.
Number 7. Let's say Hollywood Studios is getting its own version of Mad Tea Party or Electronica, which was featured out of DCA. What theme would you give it? For our listeners who aren't familiar, this was a nighttime weekends entertainment thing where they would have a live band and lights and lasers and smoke, and it was like a dance party, kind of a rave kind of a feel.
Aaron, did you go to this when you were in DCA?
No, I meant to, and I think I saw, like, the very, very beginning and when it was getting, like, put together or whatever, but no, I didn't actually see the event in full swing. Mm-hmm.
It's something.
Yeah.
It is strange. It was very strange. We spent, like, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes in there.
Let me put it to you this way. I have never tripped acid in my life. But if I had to pick a time to start, I totally would at the Mad Tea Party out of DCA. That would be a good place to start that journey.
There was lots of fog and, like, lots of characters that if you looked closely, it was like, oh, they're supposed to represent something from Alice in Wonderland. And then the band was playing, like, rock music. And, I mean, definitely there's an audience for that. I am not that audience.
I'm potentially that audience. And okay.
A hallucinogenic drug.
It's a little hallucinogenic, which, listen, I'm open to everything, so who am I to judge? But what theme should we all trip acid to at Hollywood Studios?
You're going to like my answer. That's why I want to go first. And it is Paint the Night. And I know it's completely ripping off Disneyland's parade, but it could use that song from that parade that you so love. But this would actually be an appropriate setting for a techno dance song, rather than coming down Main Street USA in the twilight of magical Disneyland evening, ruining that atmosphere. I think that it would be better suited for a dance party like this at Hollywood Studios, featuring many of the same characters from Disney movies and a lot of the Disney Pixar characters, because that just feels like Hollywood Studios, you know, Wreck-It Ralph and... Bugs Life characters and Monsters, Inc. characters and Cars characters and things. I would like that.
I actually would like that as well. You're right.
Yeah.
Aaron, you go, because I have a backup just in case someone takes my answer.
Okay. So mine would be set during the Halloween season, and it would be themed to the dance party in Hocus Pocus, where Winifred Sanderson curses them all to dance until they die.
Yes! That is perfect. I put a spell on you.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, that's good.
Thank you.
People like Hocus Pocus. They really do. That new show with the sisters is really popular.
It's true.
Could you actually stop dancing?
No.
Not if you're a true Disney fan.
That's right. Once it starts, yeah. Okay, so mine would be kind of like a step into the past. Okay, so near the end of the street where Tower of Terror is, I'm picturing having it there and doing like a live swing band and calling it Hollywood Hop. So it's not really movie based, but it's just like Hollywood Studios themed. And so like all the servers would be wearing tuxes or flapper dresses or something like that, you know?
And Hollywood Hops.
Hollywood Hops, there you go. And like instead of like rave neon lights, there would just be like the old fashioned spotlights, you know, in Hollywood that like crossed each other in the sky. That's so good. Just like an old, you know, blast from the past.
You also have the opportunity there for a tie-in, Hollywood Hops, not only with the music but with
the beverage.
Some beer flights might be available.
That's what I thought you meant, because it's really called Hollywood Hop singular. Oh. Yeah.
Well, sorry. You could have Hollywood Hop featuring Hollywood Hops.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, my answer, because, you know, the one thing that's weird about DCA is, like, or at least when Mad Tea Party was there, was all that stuff is kind of still there, just thrown about during the daytime and all week long.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you know, you don't want to see a nightclub with the lights on. Same way like a movie theater. You don't want to see what you're actually stepping in and sitting in. It's because it's gross and it makes you feel icky.
Where do you go to the theater?
I don't want to take up space that's just going to be out all week. So I'm going to be economical and so what I'm going to do is during the day you have Disney Junior live on stage, and at night you have Disney Junior After Dark. Ooh. And so we're going to move all the seats or whatever's in there out of the way, because I've never actually been in there, and it's going to transform into a dance hall with, you know, the lasers and the smoke and the lights. But it's going to be ironic in that the Disney Junior characters are still going to be involved in the show. So you're going to have like
guest star Jared Fogle.
Jared Fogle will not be at this party. But it's going to be like Jake from Jake and the Neverland Pirates and Doc McStuffin. And, you know, they're going to be in a little more risque clothing, a little more, modern. And you'll be able to dance with them.
This is disturbing.
Risque clothing? What do you wear to parties?
I mean, you know, like, and Doc McStuffin, she's going to take off.
Do you know that these people in these shows are children?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Who's the Jared Fogle here? Who's the Jared Fogle?
I mean, I can see them wearing, like, sequins or something.
Yeah, like, Doc McStuffin, she takes off that lab coat and she's got on, you know, like, club attire.
Okay.
Are you talking about Doc McStuffins?
Isn't that a show on Disney Junior?
Yeah.
Yes, and she's, like, 5.
Yeah, but the character is not 5.
What?
The meet and greet character is not 5 years old, so the meet and greet character can be there.
I don't know what we're talking about
anymore. I don't either. The meet and greet character is Doc McStuffins.
Yes, but what I'm saying, a child
inside?
Yes, a child does not portray her.
Oh.
I'm just saying it's ironic.
You're talking about like hookers themed to Doc McStuffins. Not Doc McStuffins as a hooker.
No hookers, no hookers. That took a turn I wasn't expecting.
I mean, it's still a Disney party, so I think I'm with you. Like, kids can go to parties, too.
Yeah, but it'd be like they let their hair down a little bit,
yeah.
You know?
Okay. I love that we had more issue with this than the Twin Towers being at Pop Century.
Whoa. Nothing is sacred here anymore when you start taking Doc McStuffin's clothing off, all right?
Okay. Disney Junior After Dark. Number 8. What's the worst film overlay Walt Disney World could give to an existing attraction? Aaron.
So, I was thinking a Cinderella 2 overlay Cinderella Castle. So, maybe like repaint it so that it has a lot less detail, like inconsistent colors. Maybe a stage show that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And they could even borrow that scene from Cinderella 3 and have like a daily performance where Prince Charming jumps out of the highest window. That would be, I think, the worst film overlay.
I'm assuming all of that is references to those films, which I have not seen.
I haven't either. Yeah.
Well, Cinderella 3 is actually amazing, but Cinderella 2 is terrible.
I was just about to say, I've never seen them, but my nephew and niece went through like a 6-month period where all they could watch was Cinderella 3. I was like, all right. Exactly.
Just the idea that there is a Cinderella 3 just steams my clams.
I know, but that one's legit. Like, of all of the Disney direct-to-video sequels, that's probably the best.
I might have to watch it.
Steve's my clams. Oh, my goodness. Okay. For me, the worst film overlay Walt Disney World could give, and I say worst because I can totally see them doing this, is Expedition Elsa. And, like, the mountain's going to be all white instead of just white at the top. And, like, you're going to be riding in sleighs instead of the train. Like, what's his name?
Kristoff
drives. And as you climb the hill, you're going to hear, like, the snow glows white on the mountain tonight. And then, yes. And then the silhouette instead of the Yeti is Olaf. Like, come on, come this way. And then the big Yeti is the big marshmallow snow monster.
Oh my gosh, this is perfect. I'm not even kidding. That is
Jeremy.
Beyond. I don't want it to happen, but I'm just saying, I totally see that happening as well. Like,
and the marshmallow snow monster reaches down and swings his arm at you.
And I'm picturing like when you know like the part when you get there and you start going backwards, like you stop and there's an audiometronic Elsa and she turns around and that's like what, and she like, let it go, and like pushes you backwards down the mountain.
With the ice? Oh.
Yes, I'm totally seeing that.
These are not good ideas.
Pretty fantastic.
It's going to happen.
Expedition Elsa. Oh, wow.
It's in the middle of Asia. We have to find some way to make it Asian.
You don't know where that took place. We don't technically know where Arendelle is, even though they're pretending it's Norway.
No, but this is in the middle of Asia. Everest is, unless you just completely bypass all the theming.
No, but that's what I'm saying. They could pretend Frozen took place in Asia.
Naturally.
I mean, Mongolia is cold, so there's snow there.
Exactly. It would conflict with Epcot World Showcase a little bit, but it's
like an Asian-themed Frozen attraction.
We always talk about how there's no Frozen in Animal Kingdom yet.
Oh, real wow. Cold ice lady.
Stop.
My answer is a Tomorrowland overlay of Space Mountain. And how do they get to Tomorrowland in that movie? Don't they, like, go through toilets or something? Or a bathtub or something?
It's a bathtub. Harry Potter is the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're both in the bathroom. So when you're in the line, you know, there's an awful pre-show stuff playing with George Clooney, and I don't even know what this movie is, so it's hard for me to say what the attraction is. I just thought of something that would make me really mad, and that would be a Tomorrowland overlay of Space Mountain. Tomorrowland is in the movie. I should have clarified that from the beginning.
I know. I was like, I think you misspoke, because Space Mountain is in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, so when you launch through the initial launch thing, that's you going through the bathtub into whatever this place is that's Tomorrowland, and then instead of it being starry and dark, it could be really bright and Tomorrowlandy, like in that movie.
Has anyone here seen that?
I saw half of it on a plane, and I didn't hate it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Okay.
Like, a little flawed, but overall great.
No, I need to see it. Okay, that and Cinderella 3, going on my list. And Xenon Warrior Princess, or whatever he said.
That's a better title than the actual title.
Oh. All going on my list.
Okay, mine. Now, I want you to remember, this is from the mind that brought you Race Mountain, a Pocahontas overlay of Space Mountain many episodes ago. But the more I thought about it, the worst thing they could do is a Home on the Range overlay of Big Thunder Mountain. just because that movie is so awful that, and anything that has Roseanne's voice on it is probably going to turn me off. So, but a Judi Dench cow, that might win me back. So the more I think about it, maybe not.
That wouldn't be a total flop. Good music. I always have to say that when we talk about Home in the Range.
I feel like people like need to know that. Like, don't write that movie off entirely because the music is good, but everything else is terrible.
Yeah. Number, can I go?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know what order we're in now. I don't think we're in an order. Number 9, with what character from a Disney movie would you least want to spend a day at Walt Disney World? Derek.
Okay, my answer is Ariel. And that is because, like, Ariel's kind of dumb. Like, she's kind of an airhead, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like everywhere we went, she would, like, pick up something and be like, what is this? What's this called? Tell me how. Like, she doesn't even know what fire is, you know? Like, what's the word fire?
That's a coat hanger.
I mean, like, Main Street, she would be like, because doesn't she say that in the song something about, what's the word street? She'd be like, what is this that we're walking on? Like, she's so stupid. And we wouldn't be able to eat anywhere that serves fish because she'd be like, oh, these are my friends. So, like, no Columbia Harbor House. It's like, come on.
Honey, this is your tail. This is your old tail.
Yeah. And I'm sure when we went to Epcot, I'd have to be like, Ariel, you cannot swim in the Fountain of Nations. Like, get out.
She would climb up the pyramid in Mexico. Exactly. She'd be that person.
Exactly. She would, yeah. Like, you cannot take her anywhere. I just feel like I'd get really tired of her really fast.
Yep.
Or like Echo Lake. She's all like diving under.
Just ditch her.
I could do that.
Okay, bye-bye.
And every time you try to leave, she'd be like, but I want to be where the people are. But no, we're going home now. Yeah. We're tired.
There are people out across the interstate over there. In trailer parks with beer.
Go there. I think one of them's name is Eric. Not quite sure.
Spelled with a K.
Yeah, naturally. Hey, my answer is Jiminy Cricket.
Why?
Because I wouldn't be able to take advantage of the Disney World baby swap system with him there. He'd be like, uh-uh-uh.
No down swiping.
Yeah, no. That's not your baby. There's no one in that stroller. I'm giving away my secrets. You know, who needs a conscience at Walt Disney World?
So I said Pepe from the Muppets. I just find him very, very irritating. And I once had to spend a day in a theme park. But I love the Muppets, by the way. But I once had to spend a day in a theme park with someone who just made, like, horrible comments to other guests as we were walking by. And I didn't know this person all that well. And I was just mortified.
Listen,
the entire time.
That was one time. We were having fun. I'm sorry if I offended you, but...
Right.
Really, you don't like Pepe at all? Really?
Well, okay. Like, in very, very small doses... I think he's okay. There was a period of time, and they've kind of gotten over this now, because he's okay in the new TV series, but like in the, probably I guess the 2000s, like the first 10 years, they had this tendency to like put him front and center, and they wanted to make everything about him, because they thought he was like the cool, trendy Muppet, and that's when I grew to kind of hate Pepe, but I guess I'm coming around to him a little bit more, but I still would not want to spend a whole day in the park with him.
I would literally probably slaughter any Muppet that was with me, except the Swedish Chef. Except the Swedish Chef. He can live. Everyone else, no.
How do you feel about Bean Bunny?
I don't know. We don't have to have a whole lot of Bean Bunny in our lives outside of that attraction. So.
Okay, good. All right. Because if you said you liked Bean Bunny, I was going to cut off this conversation. Immediately. I thought we could be friends, but all right.
We have strange standards.
My answer is Pumbaa, because he's very gassy. And so I don't know if I could spend the whole day with somebody just letting him rip all day long.
Definitely not.
Especially you get like in one of those hot, tight queues, like Big Thunder Mountain or something indoors where there's not a lot of airflow, and he starts... you know, rip and rear, it would be really unbearable.
And Jeremy, I know you appreciate your personal space, like having a confined space. Like, you know his elbows would be all up over those armrests. Or whatever a pig has. I guess they're not elbows.
He also does kind of have one of those annoying voices in a way that, you know.
Everything.
Jeremy, can we get some ice cream right now?
Oh, Lord.
That sounds nothing like Pumbaa.
That sounded just like Pumbaa.
Okay, I'll play it back for you, and you can tell me if it really sounded just like Pumbaa.
Well, I'm glad I didn't do my Pepe impression now. Gosh.
Okay. He said okay a lot. Okay.
Yeah, he does say that.
Aaron, you want to do the honors and read the last one?
Okay. So number 10. If you got to tour Walt Disney World with Walt today, what would you be proudest and least proud to show him?
Oh man, this was a hard answer because, you know, you think about things that you like, and it's like when you show your parents a movie you like, but you know they're not going to approve of like language or something. It's kind of like I would be with Walt, like no, it's okay, you know, don't be so mad about it, Walt, you know, don't start coughing on me. Walt, let's see. I put the Haunted Mansion as something I think he would like. And that's something I'd be proud to show him. And that's just one attraction I know. And there's lots I think he'd be proud of. But was he not... He was. Didn't he die before Haunted Mansion?
I want to say opened in like 69, right? So yeah.
Yeah. Well, he died before Pirates opened too, but that's a different story. The Haunted Mansion, I would like to show him that one because it was like, hey, you were part of this, and you know, there's lots you could say that about, but it's one that has evolved in a good way, I think, over the years, especially the Walt Disney World version, which is what we're talking about with the, you know, the Leota head floating and updated lighting and the endless staircase scene. Maybe not so much the attic, but he might like that. You never know. I mean, he would be like 50, 60 years removed from it, so the technology alone would probably baffle him. And then the hitchhiking ghost thing, I think he'd get a kick out of that. Mm. I would be least proud to show him Epcot in general. Ooh. Now, I love Epcot. I love, you know, World Showcase at night and things, but I think he would be ticked off that is what was what became of his wonderful dream for the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. He might enjoy some of the nods to it, but I think in general he'd be like, this is not a city. Why are people not living here? Why are people not working here? And, you know, it doesn't look anything like his plan for it. So I'd be least proud to show him that, even though I personally love Epcot as it is.
No, that's a good answer.
I would be most proud to show him the Hall of Presidents, because I think he would be very impressed by that, considering how much he was a part of great moments with Mr. Lincoln. So then for him to see, I think he'd be very overwhelmed by the thought of all these audio animatronics in one show right there. And not only in one show, but all of them functioning on some level throughout the show. It's not just like one stands up and does its thing and then the next and then the next, but they all continuously, there's a theme, a synergy, if you would, amongst them all. So I think he would be very impressed by that. The thing that I would be most embarrassed to show him would be the Kringle Crew during the Christmas party.
Yes.
And I say that about, I'd be embarrassed to show anybody that.
Right,
so,
right.
There you go.
That's good. I would be most proud to show him the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because it's a direct nod to the very first, like, even all these years later, we're still building attractions that are themed around his very first feature film, you know, which I think is impressive. And I think also because it's like, it has those classic dark ride elements, but like you said, Matt, the technology, I think he would just be blown away that animatronics have come so far, like with the projections on the faces and all that.
Yeah.
But at the heart of it, it's still like a dark ride, you know, but for the 21st century, kind of.
Yeah.
So I think he would be really impressed with that. And least proud, I think I'd be least proud to show him Rafiki's Planet Watch. I feel like he would be like, oh, a train. Like, he would love that, obviously, because he loves trains. But then we'd get out there and be like, petting zoos have been around for centuries. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, this isn't a theme park?
It's dirty.
It's dirty.
common.
And like Jeremy, that picture he took, he'd be like, the paint is chipping off of that horrible mural of the animals. Yeah. Like, who is taking care of this place? Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like he'd be a little underwhelmed.
Walt, nobody comes here. Don't be afraid. Nobody comes out here.
I don't know. That petting zoo is always pretty crowded when I'm over there.
Mm. This is tough because I feel like so much of it requires context that he would not have were he to suddenly return to our world. Like, I would be least proud to show him Avatar Land when it opens because I'm not a fan of Avatar Land. But I feel like I'd have to take him there and be like, okay, Walt, sit down. Let me tell you about Avatar.
right.
You know, so that's hard. But I think in terms of what I'd be proudest to show him, if I'm picking a specific attraction, I would probably say Fantasmic because it does such a great job of sort of reaching back to the things that he does know and then sort of, I guess, waxing on the legacy of Disney. But more than anything, I would just want to take him around and show him the enormity of Walt Disney World, and then just, you know, find somewhere to like sit down and talk and just be like, I know that you had an appreciation for how much your works meant in your own time, but like you have no idea how much they have come to be into the world since then and up until now. And it's become like an integral part of like the cultural fabric and what it means to be an American, and just really sort of give him an appreciation for what he did and the legacy that it's had.
Yep.
Jeremy, are you crying?
I am.
No, that's so true. I mean, let's face it. Like, you take him into the main gates, and he's already impressed because, you know, Walt Disney World wasn't a thing when he was around. And
yeah.
I mean, Cinderella Castle alone, I think, would blow him away.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to have a conversation with anyone from the 60s that, perished, that died in King James mode for some reason. Anyone that died in the 60s to come back and have to explain Avatar to them. That would include conversations about climate change and Titanic and who Peter Jackson is and why his movies are 3 hours long. And, like, do you remember the Industrial Revolution? Well, turns out that was kind of bad.
Peter Jackson did not direct Titanic.
No, that was James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Oh, well, he did this one too, right?
No.
James Cameron did, not Peter Jackson.
James Cameron did Avatar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I just said the wrong name then.
Right. Yes. He does do long movies, you're right.
Here, let me just say James Cameron. James Cameron. There you go. You can clip it back in there.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Who's Peter Jackson?
He did Lord of the Rings.
Oh, right. He just came to mind. His movies are 3 hours long, too.
Right.
I'm sure Walt would care about Peter Jackson, too, though. So.
It's true. All right, well, I think that does it for this episode. Aaron, I'm so glad you could join us. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been listening to your show, and I've just really enjoyed listening to it. I think you guys do a great job. You're great on social media as well. And somehow, this far into the Disney podcasting game, when like all of the good names were taken and most of the bad names too, you guys managed to come up with a great name, a great logo, and I think that you're a great part of the podcasting community. So I'm very happy to have been able to join you for an episode.
Wow. Thank you so much. Wow, that was the kindest thing anybody's ever said about us. So
that's the kindest thing anybody's ever said to Jeremy, period.
So true. Would you like to plug how people can follow you on social media and where they can buy your book and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. So the book, again, it's The Thinking Fan's Guide to Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom. We just released a second edition, and it's available in bookstores all over the world. It's also on Amazon, available for ebooks, all that good stuff. You can follow me on Twitter at AaronsPod, or you can go to my website, which is AaronWallaceOnline.com, and it has pretty much all of the stuff that I do there.
For any listeners who might want a copy of Aaron's book, we're actually going to give away a free copy to one of our lucky listeners. So if you are interested in winning that, email comments@madchatters.net and in the subject line write something like Thinking Fan or Aaron, something like that, and tell us your name, of course, and we will put you in that drawing. And probably let's say the cutoff date is Sunday, March 6th at midnight Eastern time, and then we will choose from among those who sent in their names and give the book away. I think that does it for this week, so we'll see you next time.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Adios. I should do a preamble to this, that it's because this is on about 24 hours a day at my house with my daughter. Okay. Frozen is, without a doubt, one of the worst Disney movies ever made. And I know I'm going against the tide here, but every time I hear the song Fixer Upper, I just want to take the TV and throw it out of my house. Forced rhythm, forced rhyme, horrible lyrics, bad voicing. I can't take it much anymore.
I know what song I'm playing during the tag of the show now.
That song, guys, I cannot. I don't even understand how it made it into the movie.
It's very meh.
The bridge, I mean, people make bad choices when they're mad or stressed or sad. That's awful.
Yeah. I mean, it's no worse than, I don't know if I'm elated or gassy, but I'm somewhere in that zone. Like, when I heard that, I was like, what? That doesn't even make sense. I'm somewhere in the gassy zone. Like, who says that?
Whatever happened to class?
It's cool for girls to be crude.
Oh, I see.
You're just lucky. I was going to say, you're lucky she didn't have a Animal Kingdom poop brownie in her hand.
We're not saying you can change him, because people don't really change. We're only saying that love's a force that's powerful and strange. People make bad choices if they're mad or scared or stressed.
Fixer that can fix a fixer upper is
do you, Anna, take Kristoff to be your trollfully wedded?
Wait, what?
You're getting married.